Let us hear now a word from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you. For all who ask receive. The one seeking finds, and the one who knocks will find it opened. The word of the Lord for us today. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord God, we do come and we ask that you would be glorified. We seek your message for us today. And we knock together that you might open the door and be present with us. Let the words that come be yours, and may your Spirit anoint all of us who hear and respond. Amen. What do you want me to do for you? Well, as you hear that question, you might say, be short, be brief, right? You might say, try your best to fill in for Pastor Charles. But if you heard God ask you that question, what would be your response? What do you want God to do for you right now? Go ahead. Think a moment. Write it down. Or whisper it to someone near you. Or just think about it and hold it in your mind. What do you want me to do for you? It's okay, I'll wait while you go ahead and do that. Because maybe you're like me and you might have quite a few things. You might be making a list right now. Oh, I'd like for you to do this, God, and this. You could do this for me. This would be wonderful. And it seems as though my list is growing every day. Not only for myself, but for my family, for my friends. And that list only continues to grow as I think about, my community, my state, my nation, our world. And we might be tempted to respond, well, God, how much time do you have to listen to all the things we want you to do for us? But this question, what do you want me to do for you, is not aimed at a personal wish list. That's a view we could have when we hear the words of Matthew 7. As Jesus says, ask and it will be given. There's the temptation to think, okay, I'll just ask, right? And then I'll get it, like a divine Santa, giving out what we want. But this is not what Jesus is talking about. We can't simply write a wish list or speak a brief request and get it. That's not the context of Matthew 7. The context of Matthew 7 is that these words come, as you've been hearing, in a sermon delivered on a mountain to the disciples. And the people are overhearing it. And as this sermon, this teaching is given, Jesus is going to move into what it looks like to judge rightly. The chapter 7 starts with a warning against judging others and the problems in their lives when our own lives have some problems. Well, those Israelis, well, those Palestinians, well, those Democrats, well, those Republicans, without first judging rightly ourselves. Then Jesus is going to say, make sure you don't give holy things to dogs and pearls to pigs. Right? I mean, how stupid is that? Why would you give valuable treasures to those who don't appreciate them and who are only going to trample on them or tear them to shreds? And yet, in this context of judging, we sometimes judge wrongly, and we do that. We give very valuable things to those who won't use it, or we receive valuable things and don't know what to do with it. It's in this context that Jesus makes a threefold statement twice. Ask to receive, seek to find, and knock to have it opened. This comes after we've judged correctly what we and others need. When we've determined that when we get it, it won't be discarded, then we can proceed to ask, seek, and knock. But before we talk about how to do this, I want to talk about how to not do this. Because there's an art to asking. And sometimes we have not because we do it wrongly. And for this, I'd like to bring in a story from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 1. 2 Kings is going to begin with King Ahaziah. Ahaziah means the Lord seizes me. And the Lord has seized an opportunity to teach through the government a lesson. And this lesson begins with Moab revolting against Israel. Probably no relation to current events. But Ahaziah, the leader of Israel, is going to say, okay, we need to respond. And so he goes up into the war room, the upper room. He's going to respond, and as he is planning out the response, he falls. He is injured. He is about to die. And so he says to his messengers, go ask. We need to ask because I need to recover. Let's ask about recovery. And of course, as many would do, he goes to ask Baal-zebub. That's what you would do, right? I hope not. I hope that's not what we would do. Baal-zebub that the Pharisees and Jesus are going to have a conversation about is one of the gods of Ekron. He thinks that Moab is gaining ground and goes to consult this deity whose name means the owner who raises. Who raises up. He's looking for someone who can raise him up. And do we do that today? Do we go to someone who's going to raise us up, whether it's a physician or a boss or a government, and we say, raise us up. We need you to raise us up. You have what we need to raise us. That's what he thinks. Sometimes that's what we think today, too. This is where I can get what will raise me, what will elevate me. And the beauty of the story is that Elijah intercepts the messengers when they haven't gone very far and says, you don't need to go there. I can tell you exactly what's going to happen. Ahaziah is not going to get off his bed. Go ahead, go back and tell him. So he asks the wrong place, the wrong person, and thankfully God intervenes. Make sure when you're asking, you don't ask the wrong one, that you're going to the Lord. Second, he's going to seek. When they come back and tell him, he's going to seek out, who is this? Why is this person responding? How did you get back so quickly? And they're going to say, well, a messenger told us, intercepted us. And he's going to say, what did he look like? He's going to seek more information. Sometimes we do that too. I need to have more information, more input. Oh, well, this person had, you know, really rough garments, like camel's hair. It was weird, linen belt. Ah, Elijah. Of course. Of course Elijah would do that to me. And he finds what he was seeking. Sometimes we find what we're seeking and we don't like the answer. Ahaziah does not like this answer. And so he is going to knock on Elijah's door to remove him. That's what Beelzebub would prescribe. Remove the person who made this bad prediction, and it won't come true. So he's going to knock. He's going to send an army to go get this one person, and they fail. They get burned up. So he sends more, and they get burned up. He's still knocking. The door's closed. Hello? Didn't you get the message with the first fire that fell from the sky? No, he continues knocking. Do we do that too? Do we keep knocking at the wrong place when the door's already been shut? Finally, the commander of the army is going to be like, Elijah, please don't burn me up. Please just come with me. I don't want to die. I don't want my men to die. And Elijah's going to say, fine, I'll go with you. And what does Ahaziah get for this asking, this seeking, this knocking? He gets exactly what he had. The exact same statement. You went to the wrong God. The Lord says you're not going to get up. Sometimes when we go to the wrong place, looking for the wrong thing, the wrong amount of time, we get exactly what we had. That's not how you ask, seek, and knock. Jesus is going to invite us to something different. Jesus is going to invite us to do this towards the right person, in the right way, with the right amount of perseverance. And the way Jesus is going to do this is by pulling out of the community what is needed. One of the horrible things about that story with Ahaziah is he was asking alone. He wanted to know for himself. And when I asked you, what do you want me to do for you? What would you say to God? Did you think of something by yourself? Because that's not what Jesus says. When Jesus says ask, it's plural. You all ask. And you all will receive. You plural. Every time Jesus uses a you or a verb, it's always plural. We're to do this together. The art of asking is that you have to, well, you have to talk with someone. And is that what we do when we need something? Do we go to a group or do we ask alone? The first step in the art of asking, to apply the words of Jesus, tell others what you want God to do. Because maybe they can go to God with you. Once you've told others, the next thing is to decide on the ask. Now, if you talk to people who fundraise or who sell things, sell products, they will tell you how important the ask truly is. Right? It all hinges on the ask. That's why, since there's a lot riding on the ask is the moment the person is going to decide, yes, I'm with you, I'm going to do what you ask, or I'm refusing. And your sale or your reception depends upon that moment. Which is why a lot of preparation goes ahead of time. There are arguments made before the ask. There's convincing. There's persuasion. Begging, if you will. Because the word in the Greek that Jesus uses is to beg. That's the type of asking. And when you beg, you have to convince the person to give it to you. Or they won't. How often do we ask before we've done the art of convincing? How often do we just simply ask and don't beg? Because begging is a lot more active. There's a story about a man who was leaving a 5-star hotel and was asked by a beggar for a few coins. Well, the man smiled and said, well, I could give you those coins, or I could give you something far more valuable. The beggar thought for a moment and said, I'll take the more valuable. Who wouldn't? The man proceeded to go and get some cardboard from the trash and write on it and hand it to the beggar. The beggar naturally was frustrated. The beggar couldn't read and was like, what good is this? I can't even read it. This isn't more valuable than money. To which the man replied, what you don't realize is that the cardboard says all the reasons why all my employees in this hotel should give you food and money whenever you ask. And it's got my name on it. It's a lot better, a lot more valuable, because I own this hotel. When we ask for things, it's a lot better to ask together and to be convincing, to have a convincing argument that will persuade the people around us or to persuade God. So I want to encourage you, have you thought about together convincing the Lord to give you what you ask? Next, once you've asked, sometimes it leads to seeking, because then you have to go and find what you asked for. But sometimes it's the other way around. Sometimes seeking leads to the ask, because you have to find the one to ask. Seeking is an appropriate action for what we want, if what we want is already available to us. All we have to do is find it. But this can be even more strenuous than begging. It involves going. It involves looking. And even, as my wife sometimes reminds me, moving things out of the way so you can look behind them. It's true. Seeking takes time. And for some of us, it's easier than others. Because some of us can see better or feel better. Seeking takes effort. Just this week, my son decided he wanted to seek to make the biggest pile of leaves ever. The problem was we have no trees in our yard. So he decided he would seek out piles in the neighborhood, in the neighbor's yards. And when he found a pile he wanted, he didn't just take it, I'm thankful. Instead, he asked if he could have the leaves, to which the neighbors are like, yeah, I want them gone anyway. This seeking enabled my son to find the pile of leaves. But then he had to seek out help to transport them because he couldn't move all of them from the neighbor's house to our yard. So seeking sometimes involves more asking and more seeking until we can transport what we found. Have you spent time seeking like that? Have you asked God, here's what I want you to do for me? Told God, this is what I want, but not sought to make that happen? Not sought to get others who could help make that happen? Maybe what we're wanting is right there available if we'll just go seeking. Which brings me to the last part of Jesus' statement. Deciding whether to knock. This action might come before or after the asking or the seeking. It did for my son who had to knock on the doors of my neighbor's houses. But it can be difficult because there's a barrier in place and you don't know how the person's going to respond. The person could say, go away. The person could say, I don't like you. There could be any number of responses, and maybe that's why when I took my son to go and purchase a present from a friend, my son ran over to the house and stood by the door. I was talking on the phone, and about 15, maybe close to 20 minutes later, I'm like, what is happening? So I go up, and he's just sitting there. And I said, what are you doing? And he said, well, I'm not sure if anyone's home. To which I responded, well, have you knocked? And he's like, why? They can see through the window. Needless to say, I showed him how to knock. And the person was home. All he had to do was knock. To which, just a few days later, he went up to a house, he knocked, didn't hear anything, and walked away. And I was like, what are you doing? You're back so quickly. And he's like, well, I knocked. And I was like, no, you have to wait. And then he was like, I don't think anyone's home. So we went up, we knocked, we waited. Sure enough, it took maybe 3 knocks, and the person was home. There's an art to knocking. You want the door to be opened. Maybe even you have to wait for it. But it involves you making sound, making a rattle, making something that the person inside can hear. And sometimes it takes a long time. How long have you been knocking with others? Because sometimes you're knocking at the wrong door, which is what happened in that scenario. We were actually at the wrong house. So we were knocking at the wrong door and needed to leave and go to the right door. Sometimes we spend a lot of time knocking and we need to make sure we're doing it together at the right place at the right time. The difference between a saint and someone who's just saved is what they pursue with others and with God. Today we remember the saints, those who pursued things with God because they were willing to ask and seek and knock with others for what they wanted God to do for them. Now it's our turn. Now it's our turn for whether we will do the same. I want to end with a story of what this looks like. I started with 2 Kings 1, but 2 Kings 2 is actually where the asking, seeking, and knocking goes rightly. In this story, Elisha, whose name means the Lord, my God, richly supplies. Elisha is going to go to Elijah. And Elijah is getting ready to leave, and Elisha's not going to leave him. Elijah's going to say, stay here. And Elisha says, no way. So he goes with him to Bethel. And the school of prophets are going to remind him at Bethel, do you know your master's leaving? Elisha's like, yes, I do. But please don't tell me to stay. I'm going with him. So he goes with him to Jericho. Same thing happens. The school prophets say, don't you realize he's leaving? And he's like, yes, I do, but I want to go with him. And in the text, it says the people, the prophets in Jericho stood at a distance to pray with Elisha and for Elisha. He didn't do it alone. Then, as he goes, Elijah asks the question I asked at the very beginning. What do you want me to do for you? And Elisha responds, I want a double portion of your spirit. In other words, he's not asking for twice the spirit that Elijah had. That's ridiculous. The Holy Spirit, you don't need twice as much. He's asking for what the heir, the firstborn, would receive. Two parts of the spirit you're going to bestow upon your children. That's what I want. I want the two parts. And Elijah says, you've asked a difficult thing. Let's see if you receive it. Doesn't stop there. Elisha has to continue seeking. Elijah says, if you see me go up, you'll get it. So Elisha is going to seek, is going to talk with Elijah as they walk along the road, and is not going to allow anything to separate except for a chariot of fire. That would do it. Fire rips through, and Elisha has to separate. And then he seeks in a whirlwind, looking desperately to catch sight of Elijah going up. Bracing the storm, seeking in the storm, and he sees him. Sometimes it takes desperate seeking. And sometimes, even after seeking, you have to knock. And it's ridiculous. I mean, this story is ridiculous. When Elisha sees the cloak, he takes the cloak and he walks up to the water, the river, and he knocks on the water. It's silly. I would have told my son, don't do that. Don't knock on the water. But he takes it and he knocks on the water and says, where's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who is on Elijah? And the Holy Spirit responds with a wind that parts the waters. That's what asking, seeking, and knocking looks like. And as he goes back and rejoins Jericho, the school of prophets, they're all like, wow, the Spirit came and gave you what you wanted. Will that be us today? Today, will we apply the words of Jesus? Will we be like Elisha and the saints who have come before us? Will we join with others to ask, beg, to seek, looking desperately, to knock, relentlessly. And then, will we accept what we receive? At the end of the story, the school of prophets of Jericho say, "Let us go and look for the body of Elijah." And Elisha's like, "No, we've already received. We don't need to reject what we've received," but they refuse. And they are left, like Ahaziah, with exactly what they had, what they had been given, which was the Spirit of the Lord resting on Elisha. Maybe you go through all that effort, and what you get is the Spirit of the Lord resting on you. Wouldn't that be enough? And more than enough. Amen? Gracious God, thank you that you hear us, that you see us, that you feel us. When together as your church, we respond, "Here's what we want you to do." To do that takes a great amount of faith and acceptance for what you provide. And we can only do it because you are alive. And so I pray that over the next few days and weeks and months, that you would help us to respond well to your invitation to ask, seek, and knock. And then we will say thank you for what you give. Amen. Receive now the benediction. As those who are called to be saints and invited to ask together, seek together, knock together, let us continue to do it until we receive, we find, and it is open for us. In the name of Jesus, who did that so well, we are sent to do that together. Amen.